So turn with me to Romans chapter 7. All right, Romans chapter 7 this morning. Now, meant to change this slide, in fact, tried to change these slides around a little bit, so we're just, you bear with me, hopefully you won't notice, although the reading is not going to be fully up there, so get out one of these when the technology fails you. You have to go old school, way back to like 5 years ago, and we still had to use our paper Bibles. Now, I have found, so everything drove towards technology, get it all on the computer, and there are benefits to having 4,000 books on one program. That's nice, right? But now I do my normal daily Bible reading with a paper Bible. I think for me, it's helpful to limit the amount of time I'm on the computer, and getting off the computer, reading my Bible, back to paper Bible has been helpful, so neither here nor there, but good and bad that comes with everything, isn't there? So this is a little bit of review, and some of these we did not. There's probably about four messages we skipped in here in Romans 6 and 7, but we hit the not really a review of the first 13 verses here, and we're going to back then up and read that here in a minute. We come back to, as we looked at in Romans 6, issues of the law, some illustrations of the law, a married woman. We're just an illustration there. Is the law sin? Because in 7, we start to deal with the flesh in Romans, right? In the reality of indwelling sin that's left in the Christian. And so his point was last passage, of course it's a letter, but the last passage we looked at was that it's not the law that brought you to Christ, it's not the law that saves you, it's not the law that then changes you. And so then, well, is the law bad? Well, no, right? The law is good and it still has a good purpose today. And, while we were living in the flesh, our passions were aroused by the law. This is what the law does if you stick to just the law, right? We were released from having died. We were captive to the law. Sin had an opportunity through the law. In other words, it pointed out our sinfulness and we ran with that. Sin comes alive through the law. It's a very interesting arguments Paul lays out there. Forgive me for the formatting stuff because I tried to change some things and did not go well this morning. Dwight and I messed with it a little bit even, and it was all on my end. But the commandment that promised life was death. The law is good, but there's a problem with me then. Did that which is good bring death to me? No. It was sin producing death, and this argument continues through 7. And we're going to come kind of this morning, look a little bit at that, but we're going to kind of unpack the second half of the passage today and talk about what are these two laws then. And so I'm going to throw this one up there, but we're going to start actually in the very beginning. So if you have your copy of the scriptures, follow along with me. Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while she lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Have you ever thought about that? That marriage, as beautiful as it is, and the design of God that it is, and as important as it is, right? Like in my own experience, life would certainly, I mean, I don't want to be too careful because there's a lot of people who, it doesn't matter, recognizing that the world is broken. There's a lot of brokenness in marriage and things. But in my own life, it would be much diminished without my wife. Much. I mean, to the point where I can't even really envision a life without my wife. Right? It's just very important. And as beautiful and as wonderful and helpful as marriage is, it's good for society, it's good for procreation. God desires godly offspring, right? It's good for helping to raise people in the fear of the Lord. It's really ultimately used as an illustration. I think God even gave us marriage to help give us things to put our teeth on in illustratively. Christ in the church is one, right? Christ in the church is an illustration that God, how the church and Christ are to act is illustrated in the marriage relationship, and how husband and wife are supposed to act is illustrated in the church. It's also an illustration of the law. That's interesting, isn't it? That you're bound by the law as long, you know, you're bound to your husband or your wife as long as you're alive. Of course, you're no longer bound after you die. So the person that stays behind isn't bound to that for that period now, because that person has died and they're free to remarry. That's illustrative of the law. You would be under law if you hadn't died, right? But if you're in Christ, you've died to yourself. You died to self. You died to sin, and you're reborn in Christ. It's very interesting. It's illustrative. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members as instruments for unrighteousness, right? Don't let sin reign because you died, and therefore now you're new in Christ. We looked at that last hour, okay? Okay, so illustrative. Likewise, my brothers, you have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another. Okay, you see? That illustrative part is still playing out. To him who has been raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit for God. For while we are still living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to sin which held us captive, so that we may serve in a new way in the Spirit, not in the old way, which is the written code. You were married to the law, you died, your old self died, now you can be married to another. Who? Christ. Right? Now you're a sister of Christ. You're married to a new spouse in that sense. What shall we say? Is the law sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet, if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy and just. The commandment is holy and righteous and good. Now, before we move on, I don't know about you, but you might be thinking, and I know that I am, boy, there's a lot we could talk about in there, right? Isn't there? That's how powerful the Word of God is and the beauty of the book of Romans. There's so much we can unpack there. That's not for today. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am flesh. Did I skip 13? Yeah. Did that which is good bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me that what is good in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. We do not understand my own actions. I do not want what I want. I do the very thing I hate. If I do not do what I want, I agree with the law that it's good. So it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that what I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, my inner being, but I see in my members, in my body, in myself, another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. And again, there's much in here that we're not going to be able to cover today, and much, certainly we could come back over and pour over this passage multiple times and unpack sort of even implications, applications, and so-thens out of this passage. But today we're going to look at these two laws. And join me in prayer, and we'll dig into this passage at least a little bit. Thank you, God, again for the book of Romans. Man, it's exciting. Wow. Rich, powerful, deep, thought-provoking, awesome stuff. God, guide our time and help me to do my best to at least draw one good point out of this passage that is filled with so many and to try to get the main idea for us today. And please forgive the weakness of the speaker and help us to see your word, to know your will, and to be better Christians as a result. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, you noticed as we read, there's a lot going on with the law in there. Those under the law, right? The purpose and problem of the law. And we looked enough at that in the morning service to think that through a little bit. What is the law for? And we've talked about that in the past. But really, the law, it was given as our guardian or governor in God's redemptive plan. It was given for a time period in particular administration of God for how they came to God. And they came to God by the law, but through faith. Right? Figure that out. It's true. And because did they ever keep the law? No. Right? No one ever has. But they came to God through the law, through the sacrificial system, by faith. And they pulled it off. Many people did. But this is the issue again today. What is the law? What is the purpose of the law? And he's pointing out in this first section here the negative effects of the law. And because the law was given to us to point out our sinfulness, and this is just a very brief, very surface treating of this passage. Don't feel like I'm really trying to conclude that this is all that this means, because there's so much more. But that the law was given to point out our sinfulness, and what happened is because we're sinful, we saw it, and our flesh said, oh, I'm not supposed to do that? Why? That must be fun. Why? Well, wait a minute, right? And now back up with me, right? Hey, did God tell you not to eat that? Yeah. Told us not to touch it, which he didn't, right? Told us don't even touch it. Now, who made that up? Was it Adam or Eve? Maybe Adam told Eve we're not supposed to touch it to try to help her. He might have been the first legalist of all. But they changed God's word. Don't eat it, right? That is good. It makes one wise. It's good to eat. Wow, I want that. Right? Been going on since the beginning. The law empowers the flesh, and then the flesh says, well, why? Why shouldn't I have that? That must be something I want. What is God keeping from me? Terrible, right? But that's what he's explaining here that the law does to it. Sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced all kinds of covetousness in me. I didn't even know I wasn't supposed to covet, and I found out, and then I was like, oh, yeah, right? It just blows up. And that's so if we come back to the baseline before we start to unpack this law of sin and death, it's very important to understand that, isn't it? That as we try to come to God, we're never going to come to God through the law and be justified. We've seen that all through Romans. We have to come to God by faith to be justified through the work of Christ. And as we try to change and grow, as we try to walk and live the Christian life then, and we try to live, what's going to happen to the person who's trying to grow through the law or through your own works and your own goodness is that you're going to have things like this happen to you all the time. Is that sinfulness is going to seize an opportunity, and subtly, because the devil has schemes, right? It's not going to just be in your face because you would deal with that. Subtly, is going to cause sin to blow up in your life. It's going to seize the opportunity, and sin is going to become all the more sinful. That's what the effect of the law will have in your life, okay? That's important to get, isn't it? We start to see the law of sin and death. And you know, you back up in a way, and you look at Christianity, and if you're not too depressed after you look at it, you look at it and you say, what in the world is going on here? Why are there so many people that are so proud? Why does Christianity have the same divorce rate as everyone else in the world? Why are all these things going on in Christianity? It's because of this. Right? Are we really different? We think we are. Are we different? We should be. Right? Are we different? The Bible says we're new. And part of that is we're looking at a pretty broad group of people, right? Everyone that calls themselves Christian, we're not necessarily narrowing down, and that's probably more important, narrow it down to people that we know in our own lives and things like that. It's because we're coming at this issue of life wrongly. We've moved from faith and we've moved into law, and it blows up and causes all kinds of problems, you see? And so this is really important to get, isn't it? And I think we always want to talk about how the danger of passivity and the danger of just, you know, and that's fair. It's dangerous, especially some of us are wired a little more easygoing. It's easy to just rest and not do anything about it. But hear this morning, please. Faith in Jesus Christ is never wrong, right? You know, I am trusting God right now. I realize that I'm at the end of myself and I have no works, no good in myself that's going to get this done. I'm going to put my trust in Christ. That is never wrong, all right? All right? It's never wrong because, and we sometimes hard work is wrong. If it's wrongly motivated, right? Or if it's wrongly applied. Sometimes sin just takes that hard work and blows it up in your face. I've seen it happen dozens of times in the lives of people. So hear that today. So we get that the law had a purpose and it was to keep us. We could come to God by the law through faith, not to be able to keep it perfectly, but to do what God called us in the sacrificial system, to keep that, to keep those laws, to take those seriously, to work on those things, right? You know, you can't say, well, God said don't murder and I'm going to murder anyway, I don't care. That's a problem, right? You see what I'm saying? But what happened is they would flip that on their head and they would say, well, look at me, I've kept those commandments my whole life. And then Jesus said, have you ever been angry with anyone? Yeah, you've murdered. No, I haven't. Yes, you have, right? Because he's Jesus. He knows your heart. Do you see? So this is what's going on here in this passage. It's a bleak picture of life on planet Earth, right? Bad people doing bad things, and even worse, we have no idea because we don't see the heart. You see, it's bleak. And even as we unpack this, we're going to be talking about the law of sin and death today, so it's going to be a little dark. And I just told a lady this week, be sure in your own life of one thing. Get this today. If you get nothing else, we don't even hear about my ideas of the rest of this passage. Just get this at least. Be careful. Don't ever uncouple the gospel from your life. And when we look at the bleak picture of humanity and the bleak picture of humankind, the bleak picture of the church, and then you start to get personal about it and you start to look at the bleak picture of you, it is bleak, isn't it? You know you better than anyone else. It's ugly in there. Don't ever uncouple the gospel from that. If you do, you're going to end up in depression. Couple the gospel with that. There's the truth of who you are, but there's also the truth of who you are in Christ. There's a truth of who you are, and there's a truth of what Christ has done on your behalf. There's a truth of the depth of the depravity of your own heart, but there's a truth that you are fully forgiven. You are accepted in Christ. There is no condemnation on you. There's no more judgment on you because of Christ. Do not ever uncouple the gospel from your reality. Amen? Don't do that. Don't uncouple that gospel because it's a problem. If you uncouple the gospel over here and it's all gospel, then you've got a problem too, right? But don't uncouple the gospel from this discussion on sin and death. A bleak picture. All the descriptive statements in there. Sin. The sin that dwells in me, right? The sin that dwells, that's scary. The sin lives inside of me, right? You know, if you get an infection, you want that out. Right? You know what I mean? I got a blood infection. Get that out of me, right? What do I got to take? Give me a pill or something. Sin dwells in you. Get that out. It's in there. Yike. That's scary. Nothing good dwells in me. Who said that? Paul. You as good as Paul? Probably not. I know I'm not, right? Paul. Ooh, yikes. I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. You ever feel like that? I feel like that all the time. What in the world is going on? I remember a dear old friend of mine is with the Lord now. And he was declining in health. And his wife is still alive. She must be very old now. But he was declining in health. Man, he had a fruitful life. This dude was an example to everyone. If I could come 10% as fruitful as him, I would think I was successful. This dude was awesome. See, he led so many people to Christ. He was always serving, he was humble, gentle, wonderful man. In fact, he and his wife led my wife to Christ. And this dude was speaking when he was declining. He's very near the end of his life. And he said, I'll be going through my week, and then all of a sudden some old sin will come up, and I'll be like, where in the world does that come? Where is that coming from? What's going on? This is crazy, right? I have the desire to do what's right, but man, that ugly old man is there. It just comes up, raises its ugly head. I don't have the ability to do it. Why? You know, right? It's perplexing. I see in my members, now that's a pastor's favorite verse, right? I see in you members. that's not the members it's talking about, right? It's the you, your body, right? Your physical self, and your who you are. I see in my members another law waging war. And this is where he's starting to unpack for us and help us grapple with these two natures that that live in a human being. The nature of the forgiven, born again, dead to sin, new in Christ, set for heaven, but that old man that lingers, that dead enemy that's still there, that's still active, right? Is Satan defeated?
Yes.
Satan's defeated. Can he win? Can he come back from that one? He's done. His place is in the lake of fire. Does he have power? You bet he does. Is he active? You better believe it, right? Is he dead? Yep. But it isn't finished yet, right? Is it finished? Yep. Isn't that weird? It's finished, but we're still waiting for that. See, it's God's plan. It's God's timing. It's finished in the sense that it can't be reversed, right? But we're still living here. We're still working, letting God work out his plan, okay? I see another law, and it's this law of the old man that's there. Am I new? I am. But do I have the old man? I do. And it's these two laws, that Paul calls it two laws, a law of sin and death and the law of the new man. This is why we have so many problems. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is why we have so many problems, because of all this death that's in us and this old man and the sin taking opportunity through the law to create all kinds of more death in us. It is a very bleak picture. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh. I am sold under sin. This is the enemy that lives inside of each of us. And it is an enemy means that thing is against you, right? And think about how hard that is. I mean, let's not paint it. I was just talking. Someone was just talking about it that today. It's so easy to judge people, isn't it? Just to be a judge and look at other people and say you're wrong. Why are you wrong? I would never do that, and you would, by the way. I would never do that, right? But think about how hard this is. Your worst enemy is you. Amen. Isn't that terrible? That's hard, right? Well, because I can't get away from me, right? There's nowhere I can go where I'm not at. Jason told me that one time. He said, how's it going? I said, I'd like to run away from home. And I said, but I know what would happen. As soon as I got there, I'd still be there, right? I'd still be there. I'd still have problems because it would be me. And he said, well, wherever I go, that's where I am. You know, right? That's hard when your worst enemy is you. When you're the problem, when you carry about this old man and he's against you. You know, when you're against yourself, what are you going to do about that, right? 25, by the way, Romans 7:25. Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. Who will deliver me from this? Christ. Okay, but let's recognize and let's confess it's hard, okay? This law is bleak and it's difficult. So this passage is to us and about us, Christians. This is not about the world. We have a sin nature. Now, it's a defeated enemy. It has no authority because we're not under sin. But it exercises great influence. Let's repeat that, okay? I'm going to read those points again and hear this. We have a sin nature. The sin nature is defeated. It has no authority, right? It's like it doesn't have authority. We don't have to do what it says. We don't. Why? Because we have Christ, you see, right? Christ is greater. Christ has authority. But it exercises great influence. That's important to wrap your mind around that, isn't it? That I'm not, it's not like I'm just la-di-da and I can get this done. It has great influence on me. I still have need in this world for Christ. Okay? Does that make sense? I have need for Christ. I still carry this old man, and in me there is nothing good to overcome that man. I need Christ. That's the bleak picture with some great hope because we know where to go. Paul calls it the law of sin and death. I do not understand my own actions. I don't do what I want, and I do the thing I hate. And we find ourselves doing this. It's just, it's mind-boggling. You ever got to the end of your day and you're like, what in the world was I doing today? Why did I do that? Why do I keep doing that? Why do I keep going back to that? The proverb says, a dog keeps going back to its vomit, right? You puked it up once. Hey, try again. Nope, didn't work out again, right? You know, you say, why? Why do I keep going back to that? That's, and this is Paul again. It's perplexing. It's this war of desires. I don't want to do that. Oh, I do it. Why did I do that? This is what I want to do. Why aren't I just doing that? You see, that's because there's this enemy within us. And it's a battle. It's a war. And you probably heard the silly story of the missionary that asked, it was my first time I heard it was an Eskimo, and the guy became born again, and he came back and visited his village and said, how's it going? He said, oh, it's rough. It's a war. He said, it's like there's two dogs fighting in me. Yeah. Wow, yeah. I said, two dogs. You know, he's sin and righteousness, right? And so the missionary said, he must have been like me, he said, well, who's winning? Right? And the Eskimo said, whatever dog I say sick them to. Right? It's this battle. It's hard. It's a war, and your worst enemy is you. And it's in sin and death, and it's righteousness in Christ. And God gives us those choices. I want to do what's right. I don't find myself doing that. We're all sinners, and so we know that. We all choose to sin, right? We got the sin nature through Adam, but we all sin because we choose to sin. And so it's an interperson issue. The law of sin is part of us, and we carry it with us. The war is raging. It's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And so it's interesting, isn't it? Because Paul is saying, I'm the problem, my old man is the problem, and now he's almost disconnecting that problem and setting it out to look at it and saying, this thing that's in here, it's not good, and it's not what I want, and it's still me, though, somehow. Right? And so it's just almost this like weird dichotomy of I'm fighting against myself and my own desires and issues and wants in here. Even when we are at our best, even when we want to do what's right, we have to deal with this. Evil lies close at hand. Even when I'm having my best day, even when I really am trying to serve Christ, it's close. Wow. That stinks. And then it takes us captive. Makes me captive. Sometimes it gets the best of me on a day, right? Why do Christians still sin? Sometimes it gets the best of you. Sometimes the law of sin and death comes out and it shouldn't. It's not good. And then I become a slave to that. I'm not serving righteousness anymore. I'm not following Jesus. I'm letting sin win. It's exhausting some days, isn't it? It is. Even just our part of submission and letting Christ work is exhausting some days. It really is. Someone told you something, don't uncouple the gospel, right? Don't uncouple the gospel. Remember that. Remember who you are in Christ. But this is an ever-present reality with us. There is no rest from this struggle because we can't be separated from, you will be separated from the sin in your life, but not now, right? You will one day be made perfect and holy, but not now. And that makes it hard because it's always with us. Now, the good news of the gospel is, and we've certainly seen it in our own lives and in others, is that those times where you say sick'em get more and more to the right dog, right? The flesh becomes more under the control of Christ and less you're less under its power, and you see growth, you see change, you see better. And that's why. And it's sin is deceptive, but that's why you see a lot of times, well, it's a lot nicer to live with a Christian who's growing than it is with someone in the world. Let's just be frank, right? I mean, because they're doing what's good. They're doing what's righteous. They know Christ, and they're kind, and they love you, and they're willing to sacrifice and all those kinds of things, and they're not nasty, and they're not users, and right? So it's true. You see put to death, therefore, that old man, right? You see that happen. So that's the good side of it. But it's an ever-present reality. It's exhausting because we can't be free of it. And so we have to keep working on it and deal with, again, the law correctly. Who will deliver me from this body of death? What a way to say that, right? Wretched man that I am. Do you think Paul was self-aware? You bet it, right? You think he wasn't just being foolish because he was writing something here. He believed that. I'm wretched. Who will deliver me from this mess? This is me. Who's going to deliver me from me? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. Next verse, right? The law then, what are we going to do about the law? Did that which is good bring death to me? Because he already sounded like he said that. The law came on, I didn't even know I was supposed to covet. And now I want to covet everything, right? Was the law the problem? Nope. No, it was sin producing death through what is good. Wow. That's the deceptiveness of sin. That's what the flesh wants to do. Is human sexuality good or not? No, it doesn't. Is it good or not? It doesn't depend. It's good. It's good. God created you. Was God shocked when a man and a woman popped out? When he saw them naked, was he like, oh no, what have I done? It's good. But what happens is that which is good, sin produces death. Do you see? Sin is the problem. And then we take it and we do all kinds of evil with it and in fact destroy people with it. Right? Is anger good? Did you know that anger is good? Be angry and do not sin. Have you ever experienced good anger? Rarely. Right? You see? Sin, it gets a hold of that which is good and produces death because that's what the sin nature does. It takes that beautiful gift of God and destroys it. Is beauty good? Yeah. Does it cause pride in people? Sin does. Right? It's sad. It's interesting. So how about the law? Was the law good? Well, the law produced all kinds of evil. Paul said, no. It's just what's good, and we take it and we run with it and do all kinds of horrible things with it. We say, you better keep, why? And you know, the Pharisees, let's make 800 more laws, right? That'll help. And then you just wait and it just crushes people. And we take that good, beautiful gift of the law and we use it for all kinds of terrible things. And through the commandment, I saw myself as more sinful, Paul said. See, God's law is to guide us and to help us into righteousness. And it clearly, and hear this, specifically shows us what's required of us. You see, we have general revelation and we know there's right and wrong. And anybody that has any kind of a conscience knows when they do something terrible that they shouldn't have done that. But the law shows us specifically where we've got off track and so that we can be righteous. The law is good. It's God's gift to us. It leads us in holiness. It helps us to know God and it helps us to obey God. The law is beautiful. It's wonderful. But what happens is that the law fuels the flesh and the sin and it takes a hold of it and runs it and wrecks everything. The problem isn't the law. The problem is me. The sin that dwells in me. My problem is not external. Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes out of the stomach and is expelled, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart? This defiles a person. My problem is not external. Never was, right? My problem is me. It's what comes out of my heart. Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These defile a person. To eat with unwashed hands doesn't defile anyone. Now, I'm a plumber. I got to wash my hands all the time, right? But don't eat with unwashed hands. That's not the point at all, is it? The point is, what's really going to defile you? Right? Would you go do my job and then go eat lunch? No, you're going to wash your hands. It's not even the real problem. Isn't that interesting? The real problem is what's already inside you. And that's where real defilement comes from. So people are not only defiled by their actions, as we think, but people are defiled on the inside, and that's what comes boiling out as defiled actions. So it's not the actions that are causing the defilement, but you are already defiled, and a defiled person does defiled actions. So then we have to address, why is that coming out of me? if we're going to be changing, right? If we're going to deal with the old man correctly, we have to say why. And you know, you'd say, you hear it like this, it comes out like this. Well, when you're out in the world, you're going to see unclothed women. It's okay to look as long as you don't look twice. You ever heard that one? That's terrible theology. Here's my question. Why'd you want to look? Huh? Why'd you want to look? Right on. You see? It seems like there's something defiled here that needs to be dealt with rather than just keeping your eyes in the right place. Now, please do try to keep your eyes right. You know what I mean? Why don't just go, hey, it's fine to look, right? No. And it's impossible to avoid that in this world, by the way. But why did you want to look? We have to wrestle with that. I wanted to look because I'm defiled. You see? I've got a problem. And I no, that's not right. No, that's a person made in the image of God. No. No, I will not follow the culture to believe those lies. No, I will not treat that person like an object to be used for my lust. No. You see? Why did you want to look? The law wasn't the problem. Keep yourself free from sexual immorality. The problem was me. You see? I wanted what I shouldn't want in that moment. Who's it hurt? Everyone. You most of all. Everyone. Comes boiling out as defiled actions. Regulations can never overcome the flesh. If with Christ you died to the eternal spirits of the world, why is still alive in the world do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish when they're used, according to the human precepts and teachings. These have an appearance of wisdom. In promoting self-made religion, they make you more religious, right? They make you look better. Asceticism, that's a good word. Severity of the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Regulations are not your issue. You have enough regulations, right? God gave you the perfect regulations. The problem is you need something to change your heart. What changes your heart? 25. Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus, right? The flesh. Actually, rules somehow fuel the flesh, and even just man-made rules. Man, the flesh loves that stuff. Look at how much better you are than everyone else. You don't have to actually deal with your heart. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Christ. Jesus Christ. Always is, always has been, always will be the answer to all of our problems. It's Christ. Christ gets the glory. Christ is the deliverer. Christ is the all-sufficient Savior. Christ is our God whom we worship. Christ is the one that we run to. We need Christ. We have to get that, that I have a problem that I can't solve. And it's not just salvation, right? Put that aside. It's not just salvation. And yes, we need Christ for salvation, but we need, in salvation, you don't gain freedom from hell. You gain Christ. Right? You get to be made his. You're his and he's yours. Christ is our deliverer. Next verse. For next week, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You see? Who's going to deliver me? Christ. How? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The law of spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know how many people I've talked to that then say, you see, you have to keep the law. It's just like, no, that's not the point of that at all. The law he's talking about there and referring to, the law and walking in the Spirit, is trusting Christ, not going back and doubling down on your legalism, right? Who walk not according to the flesh. That means don't try to do it on your own. Don't double down on your legalism, but follow Christ. We need grace, and that grace is found in full amount in Christ. Christians need God's grace just as much as anyone. Just as much. I would say more, but it's not true. Just as much, right? We all need the equal measure of God's grace because we can't do it on our own. If you find yourself in a battle with this old man, and I don't even know why I said if, when, unless your eyes just aren't open, run to Christ. Remember the truths of Romans 8. Trust Christ. Remember the truths of Romans 6 and yield to Christ, submit to Christ, humble yourself, and let God get the glory as he changes you and as he delivers you from this body of death. Let's pray. Oh God, it is indeed a bleak picture of life on human life on earth. And I'm sure everyone here, but I know for sure myself, I'm sick of this mess. I'm sick of living like this. I'm sick of a lesser life. I'm sick of the power of flesh. But I know, God, that you've left us here for a time to glorify yourself, even in this struggle. And that, God, you have delivered us. You are delivering us. And you will one day deliver us. And so we place our trust in you. We know that you are greatly glorified by our faith. That as we battle by faith. We draw to you. We trust you. We cry out to you. And you get the praise. You get the glory. You get the credit. We have none of our own. Help us to get these things today and rejoice as we see you work, because we love you. We know you love us. We know you're working your will and your plan. We see the progress that you're growing in us, and we know that the end is all good. In Jesus' name, amen.